This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Until we hit Christmas, 26 days until Christmas. The countdown is on if you celebrate. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us. You are my gift, whether you are a first-timer or you've been here many, many times. Thank you for joining us on this show. It's been a wild year, a long year with lots of ups and downs, and we'll have some interesting shows coming up that will look back at what 2021 was and look ahead to what 2022 could possibly look like as I dusted off my crystal ball for what it's worth. Would I have predicted that we would see another mutation? Absolutely, because so many of the people that we've talked to and so much of the information that's out there, you do know that this was inevitable, that we would see yet another variation, a mutation for all of what's happened in this pandemic of COVID-19. And so, yes, it is here, and it is out of South Africa, and there are other nations that are having it pop up, including our friends to the north, Canada. You can bet that it'll be in the United States. If not, it's probably already here, and we are jittery as it is. You know, you have the CDC telling everyone, get that third shot, get boosted up. You got Michigan hitting a new record for hospitalizations. Cold weather places will be particularly hit harder because it is the winter months that often send people, of course, indoors in the Northeast and in parts of the Midwest. So then the question becomes nervous traders, rocking Wall Street, markets that feel uncertain. So the economy, your health, the welfare of your family, what happens in your neighborhood, what's happening in my neighborhood as this plays itself out. I'm going to bet on us. I'm going to bet everything on the better angels of people that we can crush and move on to whatever it is that gets thrown in our faces. But the resolve is being tested. There is no question about that. I mean, mutations of this sort, of course, are alarming scientists. And let's see what happens with this new variant, Omicron, and where it goes. And already it's speeding through a couple of different places. What is the most problematic to me from what I have heard, and I am getting much more information about this, is the ability of the antibodies to neutralize the virus. What is the ability of that? Because there hasn't been a variant with so many of the mutations in this kind of a package, as they call it. They've seen mutations in other strains, as it was explained to me, in twos and threes, and each time they were just a little bit harder to neutralize, but they didn't spread very well. Now having this Pandora's box all together is what virologists are worried about, are concerned about. So it's scientific minds and knowledgeable actions and speed and all of that, and not the chaotic panic that seems to follow, of course, what happens when we hear about a new variant. And what does it mean for you? What does it mean for your family? Where do you live? How does this affect you? Certainly, it's testing everyone's last nerve. The weariness, the frustrations of people, you see it, right? You absolutely see it. And at some point, if you're in a conversation with people around you and you're talking about it, somebody cuts it off and somebody says, we can't talk about this anymore, because they're too depressed. They're too tired of rehashing the latest outrage of what happened to somebody and what they heard and information that's false or not false or who told you that or any of that. It's just a wild Russian roulette game that is happening over our lives. The big question mark, right? And it's at a time when the world is changing, when we're coming up to the end of the year and the holidays. Happy Hanukkah for those who celebrate. But you got workers that are quitting their jobs in droves to become their own bosses or to do something they like. Go work at a job or work for a company or whatever, someplace doing something they think they would enjoy more rather than what they have been laboring at. So statistically speaking, this has been a historic burst in self-employment, entrepreneurship, hundreds of thousands of Americans that are just deciding we're going to become small business owners and not go back to an office where you sit in a cube, in the cube farm. And the number of unincorporated self-employed workers has risen by 500,000 since the start of the pandemic. That's from the Labor Department. That's their data that shows up, and that's what they're showing. So they're saying from the start you had 500,000, and now the new data is showing 9.44 million. That's the highest total since the financial crisis year of 2008. So the total amounts that increase fluctuate with the self-employed and et cetera. But the federal tax identification numbers that people have to register for, that's how they can gauge what's happening with new businesses. So you had 4.54 million new businesses from January through October this year. So that's up 56% from the same time period of 2019. Right? And does that continue that way? Or do we see that some people, you know, crave maybe what they had, what they thought they had in whatever it is they were doing, but it seems like that's not happening. It seems like instead there are more people that are looking for that lifeline, for something different, and realizing that life is short, right? And do what you, I say do what you love to do. If you're working for someone doing a job you like to do, and especially a unique job, then you're probably doing okay, right? And you can have some of those side hustles. But if you're completely miserable, now might be the time. The time could be right. And at least the numbers are showing that that's the way a lot of people feel, that's for sure. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
This time around on Author's Corner, Sean Garrett joins us. The name of his book is The Two of Us. Sean, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what's wonderful about your book, and I'll let you tell it. I won't steal the thunder, but life lessons for kids. And I think it could be life lessons for some of us who miss some of those life lessons. But what made you write this book?
It's just off of experiences we go through in life, growing up as kids, and you lie to your parents, and you get taught a lesson about lying. The courage, you have to overcome your fear of getting the shot by going to the doctor and getting your shot. And so I just went back down memory lane, and I said, let me go ahead and bring this to life.
Yeah, for you, that's so interesting. You made me think about it, and for people listening to us, what was the scariest thing when you were a kid? Was it like the first day of school? Was it getting a shot? Was it losing a tooth? There's a lot of things that happen to you, a lot of firsts when you're super young.
Right.
You know, like even learning how to tie a shoe. I remember, like, my mother must have taught me that 7 times, and she's like, now the 8th time you have to do it. So I was like, oh, memorize that. Memorize how to do that. So, so crazy. For you, was it fun to write the book?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because it brought back so many memories. Like, hey, that really happened. Like, I really did that. Like, does that have that wit? Like, stop. It was quite a lovely experience going down that path again.
Yeah, and you talk about in the book, I mean, the illustrations are wonderful. You talk about there's a funny, it's just got great illustrations in it. And right in the very beginning, you show a little boy on a stool reaching for cake in the refrigerator. And you know, it starts off, it was a bright and sunny Saturday morning. And is the lesson there, maybe you want to be careful about reaching for the cake on a stool early in the morning?
Early in the morning, yep. And about lying, to be truthful. It's about lying because because when you, if you, you read the story, he goes to tell his father that he didn't do it. And it's only them two in the house.
Oh, yeah. And of course, when you're a kid, you never want to get in trouble. And so you don't, it's hard to admit that you did something that disappoints a parent or whoever your caretaker is, babysitter, whoever you're around. But yeah, absolutely. What do you hope people take away from reading The Two of Us?
That we as humans, we make mistakes. You know, we have to grow. We have to go through things. We have to grow and get better. And I'm hoping that's what this book does. Teaches children as well as adults a valuable lesson.
Yeah. So for you in writing The Two of Us, was it super personal? Did that make you decide, hey, you know, it's like what I asked you at the top. This is a children's book that definitely all kinds of kids could pick up to just decide, I want to, you know, this is like a legacy thing. I want to leave this and put this out there.
Yes. Yes. But I love to write and children, you know, that's, they need more books to read anyway. To me, my personal opinion, children need to be reading more. So I said, yeah, let me go ahead and try to have something to do with putting a book out for a child to be able to read.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, too, you talk about grief. Grief is tough,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Very tough. Yes.
Very tough, yes, when you're a kid. I think that's one of the definitely one of the big moments in the book too. Anything with grief and kids is so hard to learn that at a very, very young age. Will you write another book?
Oh yes, definitely. Yes, I plan on dropping them. I plan on keeping them coming. I do. That's my plan, is to keep them coming.
Well, again, I think it's wonderful that you tackled this, and I think it's a very real book. Things that kids don't think about, or maybe they think about and they're worried about, and it's not really addressed, and it's in this book, The Two of Us, Sean Garrett, which of course you can get on Amazon. Is there any other place you want to send people to get your book or know more about you?
At the moment, I'm currently working with Book Trail Agency, and you know, we're in the process of getting that. So you can
website,
Book Trail website.
Perfect.
I believe Barnes and Noble, if I'm not mistaken, maybe. And I'm not so sure about any other, because I'm new to it. I'm still learning this as well.
Excellent, Sean Garrett. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, interesting talking to him, and I love the fact that he was so real about, hey, he's learning all this thing, is learning the ropes of writing as he moves along. One of the things that's happening, and is, we've seen this again and again, is the cyber attacks, right? So we had an alert. The FBI is warning of cyber attacks. That happened because of First Cyber Monday. So the FBI and the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, you knew we had one of those, right? The CISA, they're warning about holiday cyber attacks, especially ransomware. That's the worst. And this is a time where people are looking for big and small disruptions to networks and systems and businesses and critical infrastructure, and that whole idea of how do you protect yourself when making online purchases this holiday season. Definitely don't be giving out the credit card. We all know that, right? People can fall victim to that without paying attention to what they're doing, and somebody sounds official and it sounds like they're calling you back from somewhere, and there are a lot of actors out there. So it's going to be interesting to talk to our pal Matt. We talked to him. And, in fact, you're going to hear this conversation that we had earlier in the year about the Colonial Pipeline, which, remember, back in May, the Colonial Pipeline was held hostage. And the billing system was compromised while the operational technology systems weren't affected. So the inability to bill the customers was the reason for halting the pipeline operation. They reported that they shut down Colonial, that they shut down the pipeline as a precaution due to the fact that the hackers might have obtained information allowing them to carry out further attacks on vulnerable parts of the pipeline, and then they couldn't confirm after the attack when they would resume normal functions. Then it was reported hours after the attack that the company paid 75 bitcoins to the hackers in exchange for a decryption tool, which proved very slow, so that Colonial's own backups were used to bring the system back up online. Just crazy what happened as a result of that, because of that pipeline. And because of what normally, you're just cruising along in the week, right? So in response to fuel shortages, because there was jet fuel shortages, Charlotte Douglas International Airport, that pipeline being shut down, American Airlines had to change flight schedules temporarily. There were a couple of flights that had fuel stops or plane changes added to their schedules for a four-day period. And then it also affected the traffic at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport because they had to use other fuel suppliers. And then there were five other airports that were directly serviced by the pipeline. You had fuel shortages at filling stations. There was panic buying because the pipeline shutdown was entered its fourth day, and Alabama, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina all had shortages. And then you had filling stations that were running out. 71% of stations running out of fuel in Charlotte. So it was bad. I mean, there had to be a state of emergency that was declared, limiting the transport of fuels by road because of the potential shortages. Brian Kemp, the Georgia governor, had to declare a state of emergency. This is one of the big stories that happened in the year. That almost was, because now we're going to turn the page on the calendar here coming up pretty quickly before we know it. And the idea of the cyber attacks and what can happen with the cyber attacks, and how can you fall victim to it, and what do you need to do to protect yourself. And it's so easy, it seems, for some of these people to disrupt the critical networks that I mentioned and the systems in businesses, and what information you've given them, and what can ultimately be compromised, and what does that mean when somebody has your Social Security or your credit card or whatever. It does come down to that, right? All right, so that conversation coming up, you'll want to pay attention. Smart guy with a great company that protects people from cyber attacks next.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Representative Brian Steele told Newsmax he's concerned that the Biden administration will use the news about the new Omicron coronavirus variant to push its agenda.
I'm concerned about the public policy responses that the White House is going to put forward. We saw last year children not in school for in-person learning. We cannot allow that to happen again.
He added that it's important that the nation doesn't return to the shutdowns that took place last year.
Peter Ducey confronted White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki on the hypocrisy of Joe Biden's travel restriction after his previous statements on how travel restrictions are xenophobic when President Trump announced them in 2020.
What the president was critical of was the way that the former president put out, I believe, a xenophobic tweet and how he called what he called the coronavirus.
This is USA Radio News. Looks like a Christmas tree shortage this year.
Due to supply chain issues around the country, Christmas trees are expected to be more expensive and scarce this year. Todd Gannon, owner of Riverview Christmas Tree Farm in South Dakota, says issues are affecting the entire country, not just his state.
We're seeing it all over the country. When we run short in supply, we generally truck in from neighboring states, and we were unable to even get some pre-cut trees in this year.
Gannon adds that weather has played a huge part in causing the Christmas tree shortage. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A coalition of GOP senators are asking Attorney General Merrick Garland to return to the Senate Judiciary Committee to clarify an October 4th memo that the senators say treated parents at school boards as domestic terrorists. The senator's letter comes as parents across the country express their grievances and other loaded social issues to children. This is USA Radio News.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate to make more glutathione is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
Matthew Gourd, CEO and founder of VigiTrust and author of The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, Cyber Accountability with the Five Pillars of Security Framework, joins us. We just talked about the Colonial Pipeline and the significance of it. Matt, what's your take on it?
Yeah, so the pipeline hack is what we would call a standard kind of hack, which is driven to get some money out of a big company. So there's nothing new there. What is new is that the company made a decision relatively quickly to pay the ransom in order to get the operations back. Now, what's interesting is that the attack wasn't actually on the pipeline itself; it was on the back office. But the back office being linked to the pipeline means that everything is connected, and so therefore they made a decision which was a risk-based decision, which basically said we can't afford to have the pipeline out of operations for much longer. It's not something that we want to do. We could potentially look at the backups that we have and bring everything back up within a given period of time. But the benefits of paying outweighed the drawbacks. Now, that's one way of looking at it. And if you look at it, it was probably a financially based decision. And the issue with that is that you're sending the wrong message to the attackers. First of all, you're sending the message that it's no problem for you to get approval to get 4 or 5 million very quickly. Secondly, you're sending a message that you actually trust that the key they're going to send you, if they send it to you, will actually work. And then thirdly, you're basically setting yourself as a ransom payer, right? Which really it is not the right thing to do. So the challenge from a board perspective or from a senior management perspective it was to take the right decision. And I think that in their case, they just say we had to make that decision.
So they did it.
So yeah. they did it. They didn't want to try and stay out of operations for much longer.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what they are doing right now is they're reviewing all of their disaster recovery and business continuity plans, all of their backups, as they should, because the likelihood is that they're going to be attacked again, maybe by a different group.
Right, because as you said, they leave themselves wide open to that because they set themselves up as payers. So, yeah.
Right. It's like when you're in school and somebody beats you up and you do nothing about it, they're going to come back and beat you up again.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you take corrective action. Right. Yeah. And in this case, corrective action is to have a look at the attack surface for the whole operation, reduce the attack surface, maybe use cyber insurance for the parts that can be that can be insured, although after being hacked, it's the wrong time to go and ask for cyber insurance, and also build a relationship with law enforcement before you have a problem. I've always said that you need to build a relationship with law enforcement long before you suspect you've had an issue, because first of all, they can provide you with information as to what's happening in the industry, who's being targeted, and you can essentially be prepared. And also, you don't want to start trying to understand how they work when they're at your door. You want to understand how they can help you, the kind of information they're going to ask you, because it will be disruptive. In order for them to do their job correctly, they'll be asking a lot of questions, they'll be asking to talk to a lot of people who might be in pure crisis management mode, you know?
Yeah. We jump from transportation to healthcare, Ireland, the cyber attack there, and you and I had an interesting off-air conversation about it, and you brought to light some things that I didn't think about and some great risks and some changes that will happen as a result of that. So talk about that.
So the health service executive, which manages all of the hospitals on behalf of the government in Ireland, was victim of a ransomware attack, and essentially it got most of the hospitals on their knees and sent them back to pre-computer age. So in this case, the government was very, very clear that they weren't going to pay. Which I think is an excellent message. It's a very strong message to say, okay, it might take us longer to get back up and running, but we are not going to pay. It's also sending a message that the Computer Crime Bureau from the Guards, the Irish Police, is taking this really seriously, and that Ireland Inc., so to speak, is not open to paying ransomware, because if the government doesn't do it, you can be sure that most industries won't do it. The real challenge here is that, unlike the pipeline where some people were, didn't have access to gas, the prices went up and so on. With the healthcare system, you're actually talking about my health and about my life, right? So, When you attack a hospital and you bring them down, you're not only attacking them financially, you're actually affecting the health of real people, right? And so what we're seeing right now is some hospitals in Ireland where when you go in, they actually, the admin staff are actually working with you, and everything is paper-based. So they're actually asking you for all the information that you might have stored on an app on your phone, and they're asking you to share information in a way that is completely not secure, because you have to give it to them and you have to show it to them, and there's no tracking of that, right? So that information is now paper-based. It's going to stay paper-based until the systems are back up and running. There will be an issue with accuracy of the information when it's transferred from paper to digital. But also, what are we going to do with all of that paper-based information? Do we need to keep it? Do we legally need to keep it? This is probably breaking every GDPR regulation article and rule, because the main goal here is to get back up and running and to be able to help people that need health support. And so compliance and security come second. So I do think that hackers that are going after health systems are taking a huge risk. because certainly we've seen huge cooperation between Interpol, the FBI, the Irish police, the UK police, the French police, and they are going to go after those groups. And equally, there's a school of thought out there in the security industry that says that other groups of hackers, other criminal gangs, are actually not pleased with that because it's putting the wrong focus on their industry in inverted commas, you know, and they don't want that limelight on them. They don't want new regulation. They don't want more cooperation between various law enforcement agencies worldwide. They don't want that. So so I think that they took a huge risk.
Boy, no kidding. And as we see that unravel, we'll wonder that the lessons that you're talking about, will they have learned some of those lessons? And I dug up a statistic that the average, and I'm sure you know all this, but the average downtime from an attack is 21 days. When we're talking about ransomware, when we're talking about local governments, schools, public health, even after paying a ransom, it takes an average of 287 days to fully recover. I mean, my goodness, I would think that this would be, and you and I talked about this before when we talked about your book, that this would be such a number one priority for especially big corporations, but also the entities that I named.
Yeah, I mean, by law, actually, they're all required to have a disaster recovery plan. They're all required to have a business continuity plan, and they're all required to work out scenarios about risk, and malware is one of those risks. I think the most frustrating thing here from a security professional's perspective is that whilst the malware itself is a complicated piece of software, how the malware got in and how it actually got enacted could have been avoided through good security awareness training, good policies, and even if the systems are encrypted, that if you had good backups, you should be able to get all of your critical systems back up and running. In fact, in the US, HIPAA requires you to have some policies and procedures and processes that allow you to bring all of your critical data back up within a certain amount of time. In Europe, we've got the NIS directive and we've got other directives to protect critical infrastructure critical infrastructure assets. And part of it is to make sure that you look at all the different scenarios and you have a plan of action should something go wrong. In this case, I think the HSE, so the Health Service Executive, reacted reasonably well, but you're right. It's going to take them a lot of days to get back up and running. And they actually got the key back, or at least we were given a key by the criminals. But even with the key, it's going to take a long time to get everything back up and running. And we now have that delta of already a week worth of data. That is data that is currently manual or verbal and that will need to document and that will need to put back onto systems. So the impact and the disruption, it goes well beyond the initial 2 to 3 weeks. And you're talking about really months in terms of impact.
Wow, crazy. Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. A pleasure. Thank you.
Crazy, the cyber elephant in the boardroom, cyber accountability with the five pillars of security framework. Like I said at the top, it is really time for that to batten the hatches, so to speak. And Matthew knows what he's talking about. Absolutely, you can get that book on Amazon.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am so pleased to take you to the UK for a conversation with Dr. Jacqueline Jeans. I love that name. I could say that 10 times fast. And really, it's fascinating what we're going to talk about here. We talked off the air about her books. And so, you know, you think about traveling, and people are really getting back to travel. I'm seeing it everywhere I go. And her book, which I think is very mighty, is called Targeting the Mature Traveler, Developing Strategies for an Emerging Market. And then the second book is Before Hiroshima, A History of the Fall of Hong Kong and Singapore and the Aftermath During World War II. Her father was a prisoner of war, and so it's interesting the perspective of what happened there, and I think there is a nugget that many of us don't know, and she's going to talk about that. So Dr. Jeans, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me. It's really good. It's really exciting, actually.
So you and I talked about some of the amazing places that you've been, and you are a fountain of information when it comes to travel. What made you decide to write this book and target it to, as you say, the mature traveler?
I think it's important to identify that there are specific things people are looking for. And although age groups can mean anything, the mature travel sector has specific things that they are aiming for. They have their bucket list. Everybody has a bucket list, but you're running short of time. The older you get and the more mature you get. So you become more focused. But also there's a difference in what they're looking for. They don't want to lie on the beach. They've done that. They don't want to just go to the standard places that everybody goes to. They're looking for adventure, interest, culture. They want to know what's going on. So that was really there. And it was what strategies, tour operators, tour companies, even small hospitality companies, what they could do to target this particular group.
Wow, so that's valuable.
Yeah, that's valuable because there are so many people in that industry and you're right, the niche is the idea is to niche that because the history, the culture, the off the beaten path place to go that a lot of people don't discover is what I think a lot of people are looking for.
It's true, but and then as some things that came out from the interviews and surveys and things is that they still like maybe guided tours or, you know, some support somewhere rather than just being left on their own because the youngsters are more likely to go and whiz off somewhere and find their way around. So there's still that element of safety, if you like, in the background, but they're more adventurous and they want to try things and do things. So, yes, off the beaten track is good. But I have to say the other thing now is the environmental impact and people making sure that their impact on the local community is not too big. And that's a big issue for people providing the services.
What do you hope people take away from this audience? What do you hope they take away from reading the book Targeting the Mature Traveler?
That there are lots of options out there that maybe you haven't thought about before. If you're involved in the industry, then there are certain things identified in there that are good options to be thinking about. One of them, for instance, how do you contact them? How do you encourage them to book? And there are lots of different ways. And while some social media options are increasing, for the mature target, certainly as they get a little bit older, they are still using the main ones. They're still using the traditional ones. So, you know, email even, and Facebook, and all the other ones that you can use.
You know, like even the phone, picking up the phone even.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, now people are more wary of that. But from the customer's point of view, the mature traveller, they like to have contact with people. So they still like they still like travel agents. They still like to see them.
Travel agents, that's right. Connection face to face, absolutely.
Yes.
This is a tough question, but I'm just dying to know this, and I know the listeners would want to know this, and you did all this amazing research, and this is perfect for this group. What do you, of all the places you've been, what was your favorite place?
Apart from the Canadian Rockies, which, you know, you can't not love Niagara Falls and, you know, all those beautiful things. But I really enjoyed the Finland, Northern Finland and the Northern Lights. Because I've always wanted to see them like lots of other people have. I went to Iceland. We didn't get to see them. They didn't appear. Apparently it was warmer in Iceland when we were there than it was at home. But Northern Finland, in the autumn, in the fall, you know, beautiful colours. It was spectacular. It was wonderful.
I like that. It was spectacular. All right, sold. I love that. And that would be a great place for a lot of people to go. We could talk about that all day, but I want to make sure we get to your next book, Before Hiroshima, A History of the Fall of Hong Kong and Singapore and the Aftermath during World War II. What do we not know that we think we know from our history classes?
Yeah. Hiroshima and the bombs, and it was the end. It was the only way that the conflict ended. It was the only way it was going to happen because they would never surrender. And the bombs dropped, and it was appalling. You know, we've all seen pictures, 110,000 people killed. But at the same time, there were 135,000 prisoners of war, women internees and children still being held, and the order had already gone out that if there was any move by the Allies, they were all to be killed by whatever means. So the loss of life is appalling, we know that, but nobody seems to be aware that it was the only way that everybody was going to be saved, that it was going to come to an end. And also don't forget that although we were involved in the Far East in World War II, years before that, the Japanese had already been invading China and taking prisoners and comfort women. Lots of them were Chinese ones. You know, there were lots of things going on. And over, you know, in the West, we had no idea. We just had no idea of what was going on.
Well, that's true. And I mentioned that your father was a prisoner of war. And as you said, most of the time, people won't talk about that, people that served.
No, they won't talk about it. And generally, you find that by about a couple of years before they die, they suddenly start to talk. And so, you know, everybody's aware that your time is running out. So that's what they do. And they start to talk about it. But the wives and families are the ones that have a lot of information. They're the ones I talk to. They were the ones who were, you know, really struggling with it. So it's an important way to get it all down there. But the point about the book is that if it hadn't been for that, you know, this is what the situation was like before Hiroshima. And it was appalling. You know, we know it was. There were terrible things. So, and my dad was the age between 18 and 21, and he was a prisoner of war. And he's the big man, and he was 5 stone when he came home, 5 stone in weight, so he was like nothing. And the one bit that always stuck with me was that his mother, my gran, when she went to meet him at the railway station when he came home, she ran up and down the station crying and saying, "I can't find him, I can't find him, he's not here." And he was there. She didn't recognize him.
Wow, because he had been so starved.
Yeah. And that's always stuck with me, you know, because that's how it was. And I've got 5 sons, you know, and they're all 6 or 3, 6 or 4, whatever. I can't imagine them between the age of 18 and 21 being a prisoner of war, you know.
Wow, I know. Just terrible to imagine that. And you've said this. What do you hope people take away from reading that book?
That there were lots of things going on that all the governments involved, I'm not saying one particular one, anybody, that all the governments involved didn't understand the situation and didn't react in the way that we would have liked them to. And so in some cases, things could have been different. But it's pointless saying that. It's pointless saying, you know, blame. But it's important that people understand what was happening and why. I mean, the women internees, for instance, people are not aware of how many women were captured. And of course, once they've captured them, they didn't know what to do with them. Because they're not counted as prisoners of war. They're counted as internees.
Right. Wow. It's fascinating. Very, very fascinating. Again, you can get the books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Dr. Jacqueline Jean, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.